Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, Patrick O'Donovan, Minister for Culture, Communications and Sport and Fine Gael TD for Limerick County is on the line. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire. Morning to your listeners.
Thank you for joining us. Now, the CEO of On Pulse, David McRedmond, took issue earlier today on Morning Ireland with a leak from Cabinet. It's in relation to an article in one of today's papers that concerns the financial health of OnPost, which is a semi-state company. We'll just take a listen to some of what David McRedmond had to say.
It was irresponsible leak from a government minister, which is wholly unacceptable. These are not the actions of a responsible shareholder. The company is doing really well. Yes, we want more cash because we're growing so fast.
He is clearly furious. I mean, essentially what we have is a minister being accused by the head of OnPost of leaking from Cabinet. Was it you?
Morning, Claire. As I said a while ago, no, it wasn't me. And I heard David McRedmond's interview this morning. And first of all, I agree with him. You know, the issue here is quite actually extraordinary. A set of accounts was brought forward by me yesterday to the Cabinet meeting. And look, I'm not going to breach Cabinet confidentialities or, you know, because I'm constitutionally prevented from doing that, as is everybody else. But obviously somebody decided that wasn't going to be the case. And look, it's not the first time. It's normally on a Thursday morning I'm on talking to you about people who are nameless and won't put their names on reports. But David McRedmond is absolutely right. OnPost has been transformed over the last number of years under his leadership and under the leadership of Kieran Mulvey and others and the men and women that work in the organisation. Uh-huh. It is an organisation that is hugely important and integral to the operation of the Irish state, and the Irish government are absolutely totally committed to its future and its viability.
Because people are really confused, I would imagine, because two papers ran a story that a report presented to Cabinet by you showed that OnPost is teetering on the edge of viability.
Well, I'm not going to get into Cabinet discussions, but you know, and the reports that were brought by me to Cabinet will be laid before the Houses of the Oireachtas and they'll be published. But David McRedmond got in this morning to, you know, he laid out quite firmly the position of the company vis-a-vis its profitability and everything else. And there's no doubt about it. Look, I mean, mail delivery services across Europe have been challenged over the last number of years, but OnPost has outstripped most of its detractors with regard to parcel delivery.
Why would someone in Cabinet tell the papers then that it was in an awful state and only had less than a million in the bank and would need a bailout? Why would that happen?
Well, Claire, that maybe if the person who said that put their name in the paper, you should be asking them. What I can say as a shareholder is OnPost returned a profit last year. You know, they've had some challenging years, there's no doubt about that. They've gone through a restructuring programme. And actually, one of the things that has been conflated as well in some of the media reports, which isn't helpful either, and I think David McRedmond set the record straight, is people are conflating OnPost with the independent postmasters and are conflating the two things in the budgetary talks. And to be quite honest about it, it's showing, particularly from some politicians, a lack of understanding of what OnPost is and a lack of understanding of what an independent contractor who works for OnPost is.
Because the post office networks, we hear, need an extra, well, there was a Grant Thornton report on this. They currently get a subvention of 10 million a year, isn't that right, from the government?
Yeah.
And Grant Thornton says they probably need 15 million. That's separate to the company of OnPost.
It's totally separate, but some people who don't understand that have conflated the two things, put them together, got added two and two and came up with seven.
Mm. Some people who sit in the Cabinet room with you have made that mistake.
These are nameless people again, and it's not the first time I've been talking to you about a nameless person. Like, I'm Patrick O'Donovan, Minister for Culture, Communications and Sport. I'm the shareholder of RTE and I'm the shareholder of OnPost. I brought a report as well, by the way, yesterday with regard to RTE. You know, I've no problem talking about that either.
Uh-huh.
And I laid it out very clearly that all postal services
are
around the
European
Union.
Well, you won't talk to us about what you brought to Cabinet, so I can ask you about RTE, but I assume you're not going to tell us.
All postal services around the European Union have been challenged since COVID. Next day delivery services have been challenging for all postal services. But OnPost has done something that most of its opponents around the European Union are looking on with green eyes, saying, how did you manage to do this big? They're becoming one of the leaders in Ireland in terms of parcel delivery, and that's where their future is. And like, the CEO has done an excellent job, notwithstanding the financial difficulties difficulties that are there. And he did say this morning, like, you know, and we are meeting him very regularly, that, you know, he wants to work with the government a new era around working capital. That's what a CEO does. But how a nameless minister or alleged nameless minister or source or whatever would conflate that into saying that the situation is dire, I don't know how they would come up with that.
But you have a huge problem within the very top level of your government if somebody in the cabinet room is saying this type of stuff to journalists.
Claire, we don't. It isn't today or yesterday that, like, people...
Wholly unacceptable, David McRedman said. An irresponsible leak from a government minister. And you seem to agree with him.
It's not today or yesterday that I have been on with you clarifying the morning after the night before. And what I've said as the shareholder of the company is I am very satisfied that on post, the future is linked inextricably to communities up and down the country. This government is a firm supporter of An Post. We've shown that both in terms of the postmasters and their connection to the company, but as well as that in terms of the changes that have been brought in by the current CEO and the current board to make the company as viable and as profitable as it is.
Well, I suppose it's really important that you clarify this, because it was claimed that decisions are going to have to be made to scale back the days on which post is delivered or cut back on the number of An Post distribution centres. Is that true?
And again, Claire, I'm not going to discuss what I said at a cabinet meeting. And by the way, anything that would be, changes of An Post would be a matter for the CEO and the board in the first instance. So an unnamed minister, an unnamed source...
Are those types of choices on the agenda?
No, they're not.
But would anybody have left that cabinet meeting yesterday, can you see, with the view that An Post finances were in a poor state?
What people would have left that meeting with yesterday, and again, I'm not going to breach any confidentialities here, is that this is a company that has come through massive transformative change, and which my department is fully supportive of, with New Era and with the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, in terms of addressing some of the issues that the CEO referred to this morning on Morning Ireland.
What do you think is going on? What's the agenda here behind all of this stuff?
Sure, if, I don't know, Claire, if you find out, you might let me know. I don't know, to be quite honest about it. I have a job to do with An Post. I have a job to do with RT. And just after coming from a very productive meeting with the Arts Council, you know, we have a very busy agenda in our department and we're getting on with it. And we're committing it to the semi-state companies, the agencies and the men and women that work for us in delivering services across a range of sectors up and down the country.
But I would imagine for you, in the middle of all of this, that... You know, the results, I'm gleaning from what you and David McRedmond have said, that the results presented to Cabinet yesterday are likely to have shown the highest revenue which the semi-state company has ever had, right? Over €1 billion in revenues for the first time. Why do you think that would have been left out of a briefing to journalists?
Well, again, you know, if you could find the person who briefed in that instance, you might put that question to them. Because, you know, I'm here on the radio with you and as a shareholder.
So you can't see any reason why this would be done.
I'm here as the shareholder of the company telling you that this is a very important company. It is a very viable company. It is a profitable company. It is a company that I have full confidence in. And it's a company that has grown its share of the parcel delivery sector in a manner in which its opponents have found, to be quite honest about it, unbelievable. And it's going to continue to do
so
that.
So it's not teetering on the edge. It doesn't have less than $1 million in the bank. All of these things are completely untrue.
An Post is going to have my full support. And obviously, look, there are always going to be challenges with mail delivery. There's challenges in Luxembourg, there's challenges in Denmark, there's challenges everywhere because all of us have moved to a digitalised future. An Post are well ahead of the curve in terms of making sure that their future isn't going to be inextricably linked just to next day mail delivery services. And that's why they're doing a very good job. And to be honest about it, I think it might be the hot weather, you know, or the end of... All of these stories always seem to come up when the doll goes into recess, to be honest about it. It'll be something else next week.
I mean, as David McRedmond said this morning, this has the potential to have business implications for them.
That's exactly why I'm on with you refuting it, that as the shareholder of the company, I have the confidence of the board and the management and the men and women that work for An Post. An Post is in a very good state and has transformed itself over the last number of years and is going to continue on that journey of transformation, and it will have the full support of the government.
Okay, now we know that your colleague in government, the junior minister Michael Healy-Rae, is a postmaster, and he has been campaigning for more government support for postmasters and for post offices. Are you getting it in the ear from him on that front?
No, I'm not. Michael Healy is a very good colleague of mine, and I actually met him last night and we're talking to him about forestry related matters. And he has taken to the Department of Agriculture like a duck to water, and he's been a very, very strong advocate for farmers up and down the country. I'm acutely aware of the postmasters issue, and I don't want to conflate being on the programme now about on post and postmasters. The two things are like apples and oranges. There has been government support for postmasters. You know, I'm obviously in the middle of discussions with the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform at the moment, and we will be doing the National Development Plan. Then we have the Summary Economic Statement, and then we have the budget. And all of those things will go into the mix.
Do you support an increase in the government subvention for the postmasters?
Well, Claire, if I was taking cattle to the mart, I would hardly have the price of the cow hanging around her neck. You know, I'm not going to negotiate a budget with Claire Byrne.
What I'm asking you, not about the figure, but do you support the principle of
course we do.
Additional support?
Mm. Sure. Like supporting postmasters for when you represent one of the most rural constituencies in the country, as I do, is a no-brainer. I mean, they're a very important part of our social infrastructure all over rural communities and urban communities as well. And by the way, this has been suggested, you know, there's only rural post offices have closed over the last 10 or 15, 20 years. Urban post offices have closed as well. And the CEO of the company made it very clear this morning that no post offices close where there is an alternative at the moment. And a number in my own constituency, including, for instance, the village of Shenagolden, was kept open because the company could come forward with a viable alternative. And it was shown very clearly that the postmaster and the post office in the village of Shenagolden was an important thing to have, and post supported that totally.
Yeah. You see, it'll be hard for the government to refuse that request for additional funding in the context, and you brought this up yourself, of the government investing 700 million in RTE, a separate semi-state company. It's hard to see how you would turn down 15 million for the postmasters.
Well, again, as I say, I'm not going to get into negotiation on the budget now, but I mean, like, RTE are on a journey of transformation with regard to, you know, like a lot of the actions that are, you know, my responsibility are contained in the Broadcasting Amendment Bill, which is currently before the Dáil. I know that there have been issues within RTE, for instance, in the journey of transformation around voluntary separation and things like that. But the government have put all the building blocks in place now for RTE to be transformed into a leaner, smaller, more efficient organisation. And I would expect over the next 12 months that the outstanding actions that haven't been completed by the organisation will either be completed or at least very, very heavily underway. Mm-hmm. I mean, the taxpayer has put his hand and her hand in their pockets now to bail out RTE to a very significant amount. And we expect, as a shareholder and as a government, that the organisation will respond and respond positively.
And listen, that headline in the Irish Independent that says the coalition is angry because half of the reforms at RTE are delayed, is that accurate?
Well, look, I always have concerns about RTE, to be honest about it. Personally, I'm not angry, but I'm concerned because the taxpayer, as I say, bought through their television licence, which is a legal obligation imposed on everybody who owns a television set, and the direct financial injection that was required to make sure that the organisation wasn't insolvent came from the Exchequer on a quid pro quo that there would be a journey of reform. Now, some of the reforms are done, some of them are stuck in gear, and some of them haven't even started.
Well, RTE say in the statement there are zero recommendations where there hasn't been some action and progress.
Yeah, but some action in progress, like, you know, some action in progress, your definition and my definition and RTE's definition of some action in progress are, you know, three different things. I want to see them completed. And, you know, I want to see this being very clear that it's, you know, it was a once-off from the state and from the government to assist the national broadcaster to, you know, to firm down on its priorities as a national broadcaster and to move off of that base there fairly quickly.
OK, now let's move on. You'll have heard, I'm sure, Piers Doherty this morning making what I know some listeners will see as a very cogent argument for cost of living supports for people this year. And your colleagues have been very clear that there won't be a cost of living package. He says we need it. We need it. We've come out of 2 years where you've cushioned people against the worst impact of inflation. Are you saying to voters you're on your own now?
No, we're not saying that at all. I mean, thanks be to God, over the last 10 years, I don't know how long Pierre Saharty has been, you know, spokesperson in finance, but there's a single transferable speech from him every year. And thank God we've always ignored it, because where would we be today had we taken his advice, between burning bondholders, spending money like it was going out of fashion? Like, I don't know, does he turn on RT or does he read the paper? But like, Europe and the United States of America are not exactly, you know, in a great space at the moment. And thankfully, having ignored all of Sinn Féin's policies over the last number of years, we have significant financial reserves in this country to insulate us, like we did against Brexit, like we did against COVID, and like we did against a cost of living previously.
I think that is part of his point. Like, he said this morning that if you'd still have a surplus of 6 billion if you delivered a cost of living budget.
But we would, but Claire, the point I'm making to you is we wouldn't have any surplus if we had listened to him. I mean, he basically has a single transferable script. Spend the money and, you know, right, God is good and Jack is
Ireland. Okay, well, listen.
Like, that's irresponsible economics.
Well, ignore him. Ignore him. Ignore him for a minute, right?
That's exactly what I'm about to do. Yeah.
Do you think, you can politically stand over no cost of living package this year, given what's happening?
Claire, this, the next budget is a couple of months away from being negotiated. And like, this is the season kicking off again. The Dáil's about to go into recess. It is, same thing happens every year, even though this year we'll have the presidential election. We're months away from a budget being agreed.
No, but listen, Jack Chambers, every time he gets in front of a microphone, is saying there will be no cost of living package this year.
Yeah, but you're talking to Patrick O'Donovan, and I'm a member of the government. You know, what we'll do is we'll act responsibly with the people's money with regard to whatever's going to emanate from the United States, which, you know, could change on a daily basis or an hourly basis. We're not going to negotiate a budget that's going to be delivered in October, in July.
So you're and saying there could be a cost of living package?
I didn't. Well, no, Claire, that's a nice try. I don't know how you managed to conflate that.
What I'm saying to you is that both your own Minister, Pascal O'Donoghue, right, and Jack Chambers, every chance they get, they tell us there's no cost of living package. And you're telling me the deal isn't done yet on that.
All I'm saying to you is the budget will be delivered in October. We don't know what's going to happen next week, let alone in October. Mm-hmm. The Taoiseach Tánaiste and members of the government who have significant financial resources available to us. You know, every year there's changes to tax, every year there's changes to social welfare, every year there's changes to spending. You know, so I'm not breaking any secrets to say, you know, all of those will be under review and under discussion. But for Deputy Doherty to be all of a sudden, you know, this kind of oracle of economics when he wanted us to burn the money for the last number of years, aren't we glad we didn't take his advice?
It's just, you know, we are killed hearing we're not getting a cost of living package, no energy credits, no once-off payments. But I just feel that there's a chink of light there for people with what you're saying
this morning.
I don't know,
Claire. I don't know how you're getting your chinks, to be quite honest about it. I'm
well,
just
you said the deal isn't done and you're a member of government, and this is what you're telling me, that you know, things could change.
I'm in the middle of trying to complete a national development plan financial support for my department, and thereafter discussions will start with the Department of Finance and the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, and not with Deputy Doherty, with regard to the next budget.
I'm not asking him, though. I'm asking about what Minister Chambers and Minister Donoghue have said. No cost of living package.
He seems to be driving the agenda with you, because you referred to him constantly throughout the interview.
I asked you about 5 minutes ago to forget about Piers Doherty, and you're continuously mentioning him. I'm saying to you, your own minister and your colleague in government, Jack Chambers and Pascal Donoghue, have told people listening to this programme you're not getting a cost of living package. Now, are they right or are they wrong?
But there will be other elements of the budget yet to be negotiated, yet to be considered in the fullness of time, when we know exactly where the European Union stands with the United States of America. And to be honest about it, it's just too early, Claire, to be given sound bites to RTE with regard to the budget that's taking place in October.
Okay, well, you might tell that to Ministers Pascal Donoghue and Jack Chambers, because they are continuously saying that we're not getting a cost of living package.
And I'm telling you that I agree with that, and there's no deviation from that. But with regard to individual parameters of the budget is in October. It's not in July.
Take from that what you will. Minister, thanks for joining us this morning. Minister for Culture, Communications and Sport, Patrick O'Donovan. We will take a break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.